Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows the only way you'd give a fresh and minted driver a brand new car is if he promises to never drive it. Instead, let him grind the gears and knock over the neighbor's mailbox in something a little more suited to his skill level. And with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, he can safely drive something that's nearly as old as he is. It's not perfect, but it's perfect for him. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
You're listening to Thunderheads, a podcast for Thunder fans by Thunder fans.
All right, welcome to Thunderheads. I'm Brandon Soule, joined as always by Rob Larson.
What a boy.
Actually, we're welcome. Oh, that was amazing. I was not expecting that. But welcome back. And the dark and stormy Jason Lewis.
Yes, sir.
And before we get started, which I feel like kind of we already did with that.
That was amazing.
But we want to let you know that starting next week, our podcast will release every Monday. So we're not going to do this here and there, you know, this day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you never know. We're going to be on a constant schedule. We thought it'd be a little more convenient for you guys, for us, and everyone involved, and maybe hopefully give you guys something to look forward to on Mondays. Yeah. And now, on to the good stuff. Mick Jagger. He had his eighth baby at 73 years old with his 29-year-old ballerina girlfriend.
Mm.
Eight. So that begs the question, eight babies, is that too many?
Yes.
Oh, God.
We're not even talking about the age right now. Eight babies,
yes,
too many?
That's too many children, first of all.
What percentage of the world's population has eight children? If you were to guess. Stephen Adams is a child.
Do you have that number?
No.
Oh, I wish you had.
Damn it.
That would be a great thing to
have. Well, I know like China has a lot of people, and they can't have more than like a certain number of kids. They kill them. Or adopt
something.
Them or something like
after
that.
After the first boy.
We don't really know. Yeah, you can just kill them or something.
I'm going solid 7%.
I'm
going to go higher.
I'll go 15.
I'm going to go.
Really?
I'm around Jason, maybe even up to 20.
Because there's some of those places, they're not like developed countries yet, and they have to have a bunch of kids because like 70% of your kids die.
Right. And then
so you
got
to have a bunch.
Like African countries, I feel like they always have a lot of kids, and India.
Yeah, and anyone who's Catholic, you just got to poop out babies.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird that they do it that way rather than the traditional vaginal birth.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is weird, but it's a Catholic way, you know? You got to do it.
All right, well, it was a Thunder week of ups and downs. Let's hear about it in Rob's rundown.
All right, so we got four games here to talk about. First one was OKC at the Heat. The Heat are not a very good basketball team.
They're not very
good. Did you guys know that?
Yeah,
oh, they're bad.
It really showed through most of that game. The Thunder went on a 15-3 run to end the first quarter. Pretty much never looked back. The Thunder led by at least 10 points from about halfway through the second quarter on. Russ with another triple-double, 29 points, 17 rebounds, and 11 assists. Cantor and Adams were really good, too. They shot a combined 16 for 26 for 34... Okay. 34 points and 16 rebounds. Thunder win 106-94.
And Whiteside, a complete non-factor.
And he got ridden.
Yeah, he did.
Which was cool.
That was awesome. And how come every time the Thunder... He's never a factor against the Thunder.
It is kind of funny.
I would not want that guy on my team. Yeah. He seems like he's a powder. Like, if things aren't going good in the first 5 minutes, he's checked out. You know?
No, agreed. I mean, he did a really good job against Cantor, sort of... whoever was in there after he went out, and then he came in and kind of shut down Cantor a little bit. But he's a good player, but yeah, he's like a not as good DeMarcus Cousins.
I think...
but just as whiny.
Yeah, he's probably worse.
Not near as good as DeMarcus Cousins. No. I just don't know if I would have paid him if I were them.
Yeah, I think they were kind of in a situation where they had to.
Yeah, kind of, but
think
it just
of them
sucks.
Without him, though.
Yeah. I don't know that he offers them a ton of wins, though. Like, I really don't know if he contributes a lot of wins to their team. They might be the worst team in the league right now.
They're not good.
I wonder what Hollinger would say about that.
I don't really care.
No one knows.
Next game, OKC at Memphis. Thunder were not sharp all game. It was not a very good game. Russ had 6 turnovers in the first quarter, 4 of which were in the first 4 minutes. Russ eventually gets ejected from the game in the third quarter following back-to-back technical fouls.
God damn it.
Yeah, not good. Thunder score the fewest amount of points since the 2014-2015 season as they lose 114-80.
God damn it.
That required two.
Just not a good game.
Yeah.
Memphis with three guys over 20 points, two of them coming off the bench. Randolph was going to work early in the game.
Yeah, Cantor on him was a complete disaster.
It was like, take you to school. I mean, that's, and really, that's kind of what who you want Cantor to be a little bit offensively, is Zach Randolph, because that's kind of, there's some similarities there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Thunder with a season low, 9 assists in that game. So, just not a good game. If you missed it, you didn't miss much.
It's usually not going to be a good game when Christian, Abrinas, Cantor and Grant play 27, 27, 24, and 24 minutes, respectively.
Yeah. Next game was the Clippers at OKC. So the Clippers have been struggling coming into this game.
They were a 5-game losing streak going into that game, right?
Yeah, not to mention they're playing without Chris Paul, without Blake Griffin. Also, Vic back after missing the previous 9 games.
Vic back! Depot back!
Yeah. This was a really fun game to watch for a Thunder fan.
Mm-hmm.
First quarter alone had some really good numbers, so listen to this. The Thunder won the quarter 33-12, 12 being the lowest amount of points that they had held a team to in a single quarter.
This season?
This season, yeah.
It's not too shabby.
The Thunder shot 12-for-21 and out-rebounded the Clips 18-9, and they had 9 assists to only 1 turnover.
Wow.
The first quarter. The second quarter... probably even better. The Thunder score 36 points on 15-for-23 shooting. 10 assists, only 2 turnovers.
Yeah, just the defense gave up a little bit more in that second quarter, but it didn't matter. I mean, they put up 36 on
game,
offense.
Game was pretty much over at half. Thunder win 114-88.
There was a little moment, I think it was either end of the third quarter or beginning of the fourth, where I think Clippers got it to like 20, and I was like, okay, come on. Come on, let's go ahead and pull away again. But yeah, I mean, it was just a complete annihilation.
Another stat from that game, fast break points, 33 for the Thunder, 0 for the Clippers.
Which is the second time the Thunder have done that this year, I believe. They did it against the Suns, who I think at that time were like second in the league in fast break points behind the Thunder. And so that's impressive that the Thunder held the Clippers. But then again, I mean, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin out. It makes me think how, what I think I said it to one of you guys, how it... the Clippers are built maybe kind of similarly to the Thunder, whereas Chris Paul's out, Blake Griffin's out. It's just like, okay, they are terrible now.
Right. It's you lose Russ, you lose Depot.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Could you imagine if Russ doesn't? I've been wanting to ask you guys how many wins this team would win in a season if Russ wasn't on the team.
That's scary.
Just out of
10?
Maybe.
I think maybe 15. High. Maybe 15. But isn't that crazy? Because that's saying that he's worth, 30 to 35 wins.
Yeah. It's insane.
All right.
The last game we have here, Oklahoma City at Milwaukee. The Thunder looked unstoppable early as they made their first 11 shots of the game. They pushed the lead out to 15 points in that first quarter, and that was kind of the bright spot for the first half. The third quarter was really bad. The Thunder shot 4-for-18. Russ was 0-for-8, and they scored only 16 points. It set up a close fourth quarter. Down 2 with 14 seconds left, Russ takes the ball up the court, gets to the lane, has the ball knocked off of his knee. Thunder lose 98-94.
And that ball off the knee, or I think they actually said today it was off his hand, his fingertips is what they're saying.
Hmm.
But still,
I didn't.
Since they gave it to the Thunder, it seems weird to me that they actually overturned that call.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Because it didn't seem conclusive. Maybe we didn't have the angles, but I haven't seen anyone that has. So that's what's kind of weird about it. Not that the Thunder would have won the game anyways, but when they start the game, what, you said 11-for-11?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're only up at that time like 8-10 points. They're up by, what were they up at half?
They pushed the lead to 15 at one point in that first quarter.
Okay. And they were up 6 at half, shooting the ball 60% at halftime. I did not feel good about the game. Because
I remember us talking about feeling kind of not great.
Because, sometimes you can flip that. And the Thunder have been in that situation where the other team's shooting 58% at halftime and Thunder are down 8 or something at half. And I feel pretty good because I'm like, they should be down a lot more.
Right.
They're hanging around. Parker and Antetokounmpo both played 41 points, combined for 45 I mean, both played 41 minutes. Both combined for 45 points. And Russ, I mean, is it fair? I mean, first off, was this a bad... Would you categorize this as a bad loss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, the problem is with this Thunder team, I mean, all of these wins, like these close games, like they need to win these close games that they're in against a team that's not as good as them, right? I mean, I would say that the Thunder are better than the Bucks, and so they have to win like these close games, especially when the team's not as good as you. Even if with a team that's better than you, they need to find a way to win that game.
Yeah, and the Bucks have been playing better, and it's on their home court. Thunder were actually underdogs, so you know Vegas has them as losers in that game. I kind of thought they were going to lose going in, but the way things were going and watching the game, I was worried about the way the Thunder were going to match up, given Milwaukee's length and everything. I thought it was really going to bother them, but the way that game was going, I kind of like the Thunder's chances watching the game, and I agree. I think it's a bad loss, especially with this January coming up. You know, three home games. This is a game against a mediocre team, an Eastern Conference team. I think if you drop games like this, this might be. If you go, how many games are there? And you got three home games, and say there's 15 to 17 games in January, and the Thunder win six of them. Seven of them, eight of them. This is a game you look back on, like, God, you should have had that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's 16 games, 13 on the road. Okay. And so...
So if you go 8-8, I mean, you know, 9-7, you lost it right there in that Milwaukee game.
And it's definitely something that you look at the end of the season, you start to think about ones that kind of, they probably should have had, or they were in those games that they kind of blew. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is definitely a game that they blew in the second half. Russ was 3-17 in the second
half.
Well,
and like we said... 60% in the first half shooting, offense just disappears in the second half. They score 38 in the second half. You're not going to win games in the NBA like that.
34% in the second half. Yeah. Wow.
And Russ, I mean, is it fair to blame him for that loss?
I mean, I think it's fair. Like, he even kind of took the blame on his shoulders, which is he's done.
I didn't hear any post game, so
in the games where he's kind of screwed up, he's said, you know, like, I took some bad shots, like I missed a lot of shots. And he's done that several times this year whenever he's kind of gone off and taken these terrible shots and, you know, been old Russ for a little bit. So I'm excited that he's at least taking that on himself now. And
yeah, he's done a good job of doing that.
Yeah. But I do think, like, there was several plays where Adams and Vic were wide open in the fourth quarter, and it's just like, dude, don't take that three. Like, there was that string of four possessions where he just chunked threes, and it's like, dude, no.
Yeah, and you look at the box score, and when Oladipo's 7-for-12,
yeah, he was,
and he plays 35 minutes and only gets 12 shots, and he's shooting the ball so well, 4-for-7 from three. And you got Adams, who's 9-for-11. I mean, the reason the Thunder shot so poorly was because of Russell Westbrook in that second half. He was taking terrible shots. I don't know if he's taken that many terrible shots in a game. I don't know the last time I remember him taking that many.
Yeah.
9-for-28, and he makes some of them, but 10 threes?
Do you think he's just like trying to get himself going? I don't know what the thought, or maybe he's not really thinking at the time.
I think what happened is Milwaukee was kind of clogging the lane a little bit. He wasn't able to, you know, dump it off like he wanted to in the second half. And he starts shooting. Like he says, he takes what the defense gives him. He always says that. Mm-hmm. You know, if the defense says score, I score. Defense says pass, I pass. I think the defense was saying score, but he wasn't. He's got to work a little harder.
He just couldn't make them, right?
Adams is 9-for-11, and he was really just scoring. I mean, he can go right over the top of Henson.
Yeah.
Or whoever was on him at that moment.
Yeah, and just the way they were closing Russ off, like, and he was just kind of walking right behind them all night. And
it might be something, too. Like, he gets in those one-on-one battles, and you might see Antetokounmpo and everyone loving him, MVP candidate this year.
Well, and he blocked a couple of Russ's shots, and I think he was kind of trying to, like, show him up a bit or something.
Yeah.
Like,
Also, they ran that pick and roll. I mean, he was 9-for-9 in that first half.
Right.
Adams was. And so, he was getting, obviously.
So, he had two shots in the second half. Missed them both, but.
What did I say he was?
9-for-9?
9-for-9, or was he 8-for-8? It was one of the two.
He shot 2-for-4 in the second half.
Oh, okay, so he was 7-for-7.
So he was 7-for-7, and those were all, obviously, they're going to be around the bucket.
Yeah, were like all
gonna be
lobs
easy,
or dump-offs from Kantor or Russ.
Or Kantor, yeah.
Yeah, Kantor had like two dump-offs to him. And Depot had those Those were badass passes.
Couple really nice flashes.
Those were nice.
But they quit running that pick and roll in the second half and getting those easy buckets. And so I think that's part of what it was as well.
Was Milwaukee closing them off, or were they just weren't running them? I can't really recall.
No, they weren't running it as much.
One play that was working, they were kind of doing the old classic, how they used to send KD to go set a pick for Russ and then just kind of, I don't know, pop to the three-point line, and they were doing that with Oladipo. He's coming to set a screen for him, and it was working.
Yeah.
I say it every podcast, but I want to see Oladipo with more opportunities to create plays. He had two of his nicest plays of the season last night, you know?
Dude, he looked good last night.
His dribbling, his patience, but he does have a problem when he gets down under the basket. He doesn't feel confident in finishing around people, drawing fouls, everything like that.
Right.
Speaking of fouls, I don't really think the Thunder were getting a lot of calls.
Yeah, you had brought that up, and I mean, I didn't feel initially like it was like soup, like the reason that we were down or anything. I mean, they could have done a better job of getting to the line, I guess, but I didn't feel like the refs were completely one-sided or anything last night. They just weren't all that great.
And two of the Thunder starters, Sabonis and Robertson, put up 0 points combined.
That's actually something I wanted to talk about, was how the guys that have been contributing so much kind of disappeared last night. Like, where we had seen the bench be, like, they were stepping up, you know, in previous games.
Yeah, the bench has regressed that game. I mean, aside from...
Drop back a bit.
It regressed, right? They've been playing so well lately.
Well, it's Kanter, really.
It all is on Kanter.
Right. I mean, he's the guy that comes off the bench that you're expecting a punch from, and he was not good last night.
No, he was not
one
good.
One for six, and negative 13.
The reason the bench has been so good lately is, because like you said, Rob, it's because of Kanter, and it's a little bit of the rise of Abrines, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Making shots. Yeah, so when Kanter has a bad game, it's hard for the bench to play well. Laverne's just kind of Laverne at this point. I think he is who he is. I don't know. I think maybe he shows his flashes, but it's not like he's not going to come and score 15 to 20 points any night. Like
I like when he gets in the game, though, because I feel like the ball moves around a lot more. Like he does kind of do this Nick Collison-y, like, facilitating type moving the floor around, at least.
Well, going back to the bench, so Oladipo, before Oladipo got hurt, he was staggering him and Russ and playing Oladipo with the bench. Not doing that right now because of how well the bench has been playing, and that's understandable. Do you think he should go back? Rob, do you think he should go back to playing Oladipo with that bench and maybe having him handle the ball a little bit more?
I think it was just a weird game where it really comes down, I mean, if Kanter plays, this is a 4-point loss. Mm-hmm. And they were in it late. They had a chance. Russ, with, you know, 10 seconds left.
What about that three where they had a full shot clock and Russ just walks up the court and takes it?
That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But, I mean, it's just old Russ.
So, Abrines, Kristen, Grant, Kanter, and Laverne, that lineup last night, they played the fourth most minutes with that lineup together.
Mm-hmm.
They were a -9. And so that's an all-bench lineup there that Donovan's been getting away with using... Mm-hmm. Those five guys.
But which is important.
But another thing, like, Milwaukee didn't use all bench lineups hardly at all. Like,
well, they used Giannis
Giannis and Parker played almost the whole game. Like,
yeah.
So when you're going all bench against them, it's like, who's going to...
Right.
Who's going to guard that guy?
Well, Antetokounmpo playing 41 minutes and Robertson played 19. And to start the game, I mean, that's the second lowest total Robertson's played all year.
Yeah, I almost feel like this should have been a time where you, like, Robertson, you're in there whenever Giannis is.
Well, why do you guys think that he only played 19 minutes? I mean, because I thought he was actually doing a good job early in the game. I was worried about the matchup because, like, you know, Robertson's normally bigger and longer than the guys he's guarding.
And he's definitely not on
that
situation.
And he's not. But he was actually doing a pretty good job contesting his shots.
Yeah, I didn't understand why he kept running him off of the three-point line. Like, whenever he was out there on him, like, just don't
let him
just
shoot.
Contest. Mm-hmm. Don't run him off of
he
the
He doesn't
line.
Want to shoot the three.
No, he's a sub 30% 3-point shooter, I think, isn't he?
I don't know his percentage, but you can tell just watching him. He doesn't want to shoot the three.
He's not comfortable.
I
agree. I mean, he wasn't in foul trouble. He had two fouls, Robertson did, that entire game. And so, I don't know. I don't know what it was last night.
I mean, it might be a little bit what you're talking about. Maybe it's the... It's the fact that the Bucks were clogging the paint, as teams tend to do, and Donovan wants to... I mean, Robertson is not shooting the ball well at all.
And so but it maybe, wasn't Morrow that came in. Morrow didn't play last night.
Abrines played 14 minutes. Yeah, I mean, it's not like another three-point shooter came in and played 25 minutes.
What was kind of cool, it was in that fourth quarter. I think Christian only played like under 4 minutes. But he had
a killer.
He had four buckets in the... he had at least three in that fourth quarter, and they were all back-to-back.
Yeah.
They were like...
No, he took over the game.
Yeah, it was like really crazy. Cool.
I got to give him credit.
He did kind of... He put them in a position for them, and he only played... He played less than 4 minutes, I think, in that fourth quarter, but he put them in a position for Russ to be able to come in and you know, take over, and it didn't happen. But it was pretty cool to see him out there.
And he was aggressive. Well. It was nice to see him...
Yeah, he was really aggressive.
Really playing hard. Like, it was really cool. And he ended up being 5 for 6, 1 for 2 from 3 with 11 points, which...
What's funny is Cantor was a game low, minus 13. Oof. And Sabonis was not a game high, but one off of being a game... Jason Terry was a game high, plus 12. Sabonis was a plus 11. Sabonis didn't score any points, but actually, like...
When he was on the
court. I wanted him on the court.
Yeah.
More, and I didn't think Donovan was actually going to put him on the court, but he actually did.
Well, you could tell. Cantor was just not effective. It just wasn't working with him out there.
Is that worrisome that the fact that Greg Monroe was out playing right. Cantor?
It is weird, though, to see Greg Monroe coming off of the bench. I mean, they have John Henson who's starting, which I think it's more so of a, you know, they want the scoring. Too. It's kind of like the Thunder. Mm-hmm. They want the scoring off of the bench. So
they're similar players. Yeah. And Monroe had a game that you like to see Cantor have.
Yeah.
15 points, 7 rebounds.
I agree with you, though. It's weird that Cantor can't stick with Monroe. Like, that's the kind of player I feel like he's kind of good at guarding.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't do a good job at all.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's going to have his ups and downs. And he's been playing so good lately. He's got to bring it, though, because the January schedule, I want to bring this up. I want to know if the Thunder go 500 in January, is that a success? And let me read off the schedule real quick. So they just lost to – they're starting – behind, obviously. They lost to Milwaukee. And then tomorrow night at Charlotte, they're going to be underdogs. Then at Houston, they're going to be underdogs there. Denver at home, they'll be favored. At Chicago, what do you think? Favorite, underdog, be close. Probably favored.
Probably favored, yeah.
Memphis at home, probably favored. But you think? Just because they'll be at
it's
home.
It's close.
Just because they'll be at home. At Minnesota, favored. At Sacramento, favored. But you know how they play against Sacramento.
Right, that's true.
I mean, I feel like Sacramento always plays the Thunder hard. At Clippers, depending on Chris Paul, Blake Griffin. Well, Blake Griffin won't be back, but probably underdog. Then at Golden State, underdog. At Utah, underdog. At New Orleans, who's playing a little better, but probably favored there. And then versus Dallas at home, will be favored there. And then at Cleveland, underdog. At San Antonio, underdog.
Yeah, that's what you would call not good.
It's like, it's brutal.
Yeah, I mean 500 I think is I think that's something to shoot for. Like, I don't know that it's
really
like you can just, you know, pencil them in for, you know.
So 500 is a success is what you're telling me.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, I think I would agree. So what's the record right now? 21-14. So they go 500. There's 15 games left. That means they would have to go 8-7. So they'd be 29-21. That'd be good. I agree. I mean, that would put them on pace for...
I mean, I would really hope that they...
47, 48 wins. That would put them... If they go 500, that would put them on a 48-win pace this month.
I mean, I could see them losing. They're definitely... have a chance to lose the 6 games.
There's just
the
some games in there you're like, yeah, like they're going to lose that game.
Clippers, Warriors, Cavs, Spurs.
Well, it goes,
those are done.
Yeah, like, I mean, it goes.
And Rockets.
It goes on the road. Clippers, Warriors, right. Jazz. I mean, those 3 in a row.
Yeah, that's going to be.
And even the road stretch too, where they go Minnesota, Sacramento, Clippers, Warriors, Jazz, Pelicans. I mean, that's.
Yeah, that's a long road trip. And you're. Going from Minnesota all the way, like you're going from OKC all the way to Minnesota, back to California.
But this is what we knew before the season, right? This was a stretch that we looked at.
Yep.
And you're saying with how nice the schedule set up at the beginning of the season, and then we were looking at this, it's like, you know, how are they going to, you know, they have to get through this point, hopefully.
So did they do well enough at the beginning to be where we wanted them to be?
They didn't. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Rob, you picked 52 wins, so does that mean if they go 500, and that's, we're talking about, that's expecting maybe a little too much this month, They've underperformed thus far in your eyes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought that they would start out 15-5, mm-hmm. and so they missed that mark. And so, yeah, I mean, I think
they've been so streaky, man. Yeah. Like, it's just like
it's like what we talked about last pod. They've gone on little win streaks and almost longer loss streaks. And
they're 6-4 in their last 10, I think.
Yeah,
they went. Part of that's probably well, they went 5-4, I think, without Vic. And so that's probably part of it, too. And maybe this team will look better now. Because Vic, it looked like he just picked right up where he left off. I know.
Yeah.
I mean, and, it's incredible.
Looks like his wrist is better now than it was before.
Reinforced.
An incredible wrist. But I was hoping that the bench would continue to do what they were doing before he went out.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't know. I think they have to maybe kind of readjust a little bit with
I think it's unfair to expect this bench, because we saw how terrible this bench was most of the year.
Yeah. But
so it's unfair to expect them to play well every game. Because,
yeah, right.
I mean,
it goes back
to what we're talking about. Is Westbrook to blame for this loss? I mean, he shoots 9-28. I mean, what's he shooting over the last four games? 40% from the field over the last four games, and two of those are blowout wins. He's got to shoot a higher percentage. He's got to take his shots. He's got to take better shots. Because in losses, you see it. Like, look at box scores in losses and look at them in wins.
Right.
Oh, it's a huge discrepancy as far as his efficiency numbers are, you know?
And the threes he takes make a huge impact. When he takes 10 threes, that's, like, I feel like you got a loss on your hands.
Yeah, you're bailing out the defense.
Oh, I got a stat on this when we go into the dungeon here in a minute.
Ooh.
But before we go into the dungeon, I just want to touch on it real quick. Reports are saying Millsap available for trade. Should OKC go for it? It's only a yes or no question. There's no maybe.
Yeah.
You really think they should?
Get it. Yeah.
Is that on last year of his contract?
No.
No?
Ooh, I didn't
because
know that
of part. That, I didn't
know
last
that
year of his contract.
He's old.
And the fact that they would have to. I think the price would be too high. The Thunder aren't a contender for Paul Millsap.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Not at all.
No.
Yeah, it's probably
more.
I didn't realize the contract part.
It doesn't solve a need for the Thunder.
I think it kind of does. He's a better defensive player than
Cantor.
It's an immediate need.
I'm not saying it wouldn't be an upgrade, but that doesn't. I mean, you still. The issue is still.
Is he the all-star that we need to be a contender? Like, no.
I definitely think it would obviously it would help them.
I think it would make the Thunder interesting. I will say that. But I'm with you. I don't think that it puts them in the championship
conversation. And especially getting in mid-season, like where you have to retool everything like that.
I mean, you have to. Cantor's got to be a part of that deal.
Oh yeah,
for one.
For sure.
So you lose Punch off the bench because Sabonis is going to go to the bench.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to lose Punch off the bench. You can keep the same starting lineup, obviously, just with Millsap there.
So you're losing Cantor, Cameron Payne,
yeah, probably
you're
Cameron
losing
Payne, and maybe a pick. You know,
see, I don't think that gets it though. Well,
and then that's also saying
yeah, if you have
hopes to re-sign him. What I mean, Millsap's got to be 31, 32. I don't know how old he is, but that's what I would guess. So if you're going to re-sign him, he's going to want money, and you're going to have to pay him probably more than Cantor even earned, and that's just going to put you way into the
31.
Tax. That's going to put you way into the tax. So
yeah,
he's about to be 32 this year.
So you're probably right.
And we
right,
already
Robin.
Don't have money. Like,
even though
it's fun,
we ain't got money.
It's fun to think about, though, right? I mean, because it definitely, I think it does. Whenever I
he's
said
an
it doesn't solve
piece
a need,
for sure.
I mean, they need something more long term.
He'd be a fun fit for this team just because how well he handles the ball, how well he can pass
shoot,
it.
Yeah.
He can do a little bit of everything.
He can shoot really well.
He's probably he's borderline the best two way power forward.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
he's definitely top five. I thought that maybe he's slightly overrated over the past few years, but, you know, he kind of proves me wrong because he keeps his team afloat a lot of times. And when we play him, he's just a smart player. Okay, let's debut our new segment, and let's enter the stat dungeon.
Stat dungeon.
Mm.
Ooh.
All right. I like it. Good job.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We're going to divide these stats. I'm just going to reveal some little stats here and there. We're going to divide them into categories. So the first category is the duh category. So first one, no surprise here, it's the duh category. When Russ shoots greater than or equal to 40% from the field, Thunder 15-4.
Duh.
Yeah, and when he shoots below 40%, Thunder are 6-10. It's kind of like what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Russ attempts seven or more threes in a game this season, the Thunder are 6-5.
Huh.
They actually have a winning record. But when he attempts less than seven threes, 18-9.
Ooh, that's better.
Listen, but then listen to this. When he attempts seven or more over his career, so not just limited to the season, 20 playoffs included, 23-25 over his career when Russ attempts seven or more threes. When he attempts 10 or more threes over his career, anyone want to give a guess what Thunder's record is there?
Oh, and something.
They've played 14. He's done it 14 times, shot 10 or more.
2-12.
1-13.
Ooh, 1-13.
Isn't that crazy?
We were split.
And so last night was one of those games. I mean, it's just wild.
That's nuts. Like, we should send that to him and be like, hey, bro, like, let's
you see
just
this,
don't.
Right? Like, I mean, and I think a lot of that is because they'll be down in games and he'll just start chucking. But
do you think we could put like an earpiece in him and like when he gets to seven, we just, hey bro.
Or just quit. Just a light that just like flashes it whenever it's like no more.
We should just travel with the team and we'll hold up a buzzer. Stop it.
Yeah. Last duh category in the Thunder, also related to threes. When they attempt 25 or more threes this year, 11-12 on the season. And when the Thunder attempt 25 or less than 25, 10-2.
I looked it up earlier. They have the second worst 3-point percentage in the league.
I mean, that's
just stick to what you're
doing.
And
with the way the league is going, shooting threes, and the Thunder are better when they just don't.
Yeah, that's funny. It's like stick to your strengths. Like,
yeah,
don't follow the other people. Like, it feels like they start getting into shooting contests with other teams sometimes, and it's like, that's not what you do.
Well, you're not built for that. Yeah. Let's do what we do well. And it's probably more fun to shoot
a bunch of threes.
It's probably not as, I mean, the alley-oops and everything, that's fun. But, you know, throwing it into the paint and letting Kanter do something, you know, it's not as fun.
And I think a lot of times you have to give the defense a little credit, too, because they compact the lane on Russ and Adams.
They know what
we're trying to do. Yeah, but
it's not a secret.
Next category, the unpleasant truth category.
Mm. Dun, 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 I feel like I'm not going to like this.
Okay, the Thunder versus teams below 500, 15-6.
Yeah.
Thunder versus teams at or above 500, 6-8.
Mm. Yeah.
So that wow, stat tells you
500 though.
Oof,
that
doesn't feel well.
Mm-mm.
The stats say the Thunder are a mediocre team.
Yeah.
The Thunder, when Roberson plays less than 25 minutes, they're 3-3. And the losses in those six games, those three losses are to Memphis, Golden State, and Toronto, and now Milwaukee. So
yeah,
so it should be 3-4 actually. So I didn't update it. So against good teams, you know, that's kind of weird. Like, I don't know if that. I don't know. I don't know if that's what that means, or it means that he can't play versus those good teams, and that's what.
That's
I mean, it kind of goes back to what we say in the playoffs when teams don't guard him. It's like, is he become
some of those? Like, obviously, Golden State's a high scoring team, but some of those were not. Like even last night, it was under 100 points. So it's kind of weird that. You know, he didn't.
It is. Speaking of Roberson, he's now just shooting 27.8% from three.
Jesus Christ.
He is up to 33% from the line, though. Woo! Moving on up!
Hell yeah!
He's been working on it. Okay, and last one in the unpleasant truth category. Alex Abrines allows the highest field goal percentage against him of anyone in the NBA.
Really?
That has played at least 20 games. His opponents shoot 58.3% against him when he
guards him. God, please, no!
I didn't want to reveal that.
I wouldn't have guessed that,
I didn't
though.
Think that either. Like, he seemed... The eye test fails you on
right,
that
one. Right, yeah. I know, I mean, he's not a lockdown defender, but...
No.
Whenever I see him out there, I'm not like, oh, God.
But I'm always like, well, at least he's better than Morrow defensively, but maybe not.
Yeah. Number two, just for fun, number two, the second worst, Buddy Hield.
Oh, no.
So two rookies to top the list. I mean, I guess that's expected. All right, next category. The what category?
What?
Victor Oladipo's usage percentage is just 20.6, which is a career low. So here's just for fun, here's some players with higher usage percentage than Oladipo. Elfrid Payton, his former teammate. Kent Bazemore, Terrence Jones, Ilyasova. Frank Kaminsky has a higher usage percentage than Victor Oladipo. Wes Matthews, and then these last two. Buddy Hield has a higher usage percentage, and Jeremy Lamb. Higher usage percentage than Victor Oladipo.
Wow, that's sad.
So is that too low? Like,
yes.
Like, am I reaching every podcast when I talk about this? Am I saying, like...
No.
But the problem is whenever we've seen him try to run the offense, it hasn't looked good.
Well. Yeah, that's
true. I mean, he wasn't... So the goal was to have him be able to sort of run that second unit, especially whenever Russ goes to the bench, like, and it's him with that second unit. It was like, he's going to be able to create shots for these guys and create opportunities.
He doesn't.
On the pick and roll, he'll just shoot it, or he'll go right to the rim.
So is it just a confidence thing with him, or what is it?
I don't know, but I'm with you. I definitely think if he handles the ball more and it takes the ball out of Westbrook's hands more, the Thunder aren't going to be as good. But I also think that is it worth taking the ball out of his hands if it means you're hindering his development when the Thunder... It's not like the Thunder are going to win the championship. You know what I mean? And so that's what... Like,
but if they do, though...
But you invested in this guy long-term, and you expect him to do this down the road, I'm assuming.
Like, go ahead and get him the looks.
But what about... So we're just talking about Russ, and obviously Kristen is playing now, but you have campaign coming back.
Yeah.
And so he's probably not going to be required to do that. But he's also turned out to be a pretty good spot-up shooter.
Yeah, I know. It's been a pleasant surprise. It's just... I would just like to see... But that kind of works to my argument here.
Right. Because give him the ball more.
Yeah, so if he has that in his... Now people have to respect his shot. I mean, so
he can take you off the dribble. Like,
exactly. He does struggle to get to the line. We've talked about it before.
He also struggles to finish around the rim.
Struggles to finish around the rim. But it's, you got to practice, though.
as talented as he is, like, I would never say, like, he needs the ball less. Obviously, they need to find spots for him to succeed.
I would say 20.6 is a little low. I'd like to see it.
Well, especially with those names that you said.
Yeah.
And, a lot of those names aren't playing on good teams, but still. But Thunder aren't necessarily a great team.
None of them are playing with Russell Westbrook, who's on an insane
sort of... He's going to set the record for usage percentage issue.
Yeah, I'm not upset when he has the ball. So.
All right, next. What category stat? 52.5% of Kyle Singler's field goal attempts are threes.
What?
Of those, he makes 23.8% of them. I think that's how you perfectly describe a terrible player, I guess. Offensive player, at least.
I don't know what to make of
Kyle.
What is he?
What is he?
I still think I think another team would take a chance on him.
Really?
I do.
Well, he'd probably be amazing with another team. He's got the Thunder curse.
The Cavs, he would just...
He would be just nailing 95%.
Well, I've been saying that I feel like he's a player that plays a lot better in high motion offense. Like, he needs everyone to move. Yeah, he moves well.
He moves around so well.
Exactly. So I think that if he had
didn't foul every 3 seconds, it'd be great.
Yeah, if he had an offense that played like that, though, where I think it would benefit him more.
He is shooting 100% from three in this little stretch that we have, his last three games.
He's on fire.
He's killing it.
One for one.
He's on fire!
Enes Kanter's opponents shoot just 45.3% against him. Yeah. Even better than Steven Adams, who's at 46.9%.
I did see that, and I think he was really close to Karl Anthony Towns, too. Okay.
Well, it's funny, when Towns came into the league, everyone thought he was going to be awesome on defense and have some work to do on offense, and it's been totally opposite.
Yeah.
But still, the point is that and obviously Towns is a lot younger, but he's younger, and so, he's got more room to grow, probably. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he's in line with somebody like that, where people just think Kanter's the worst defender they've ever seen and will never get better, it's just like, the numbers kind of say a little bit different.
He is playing a lot against bench players, so you have to throw that in there. But yeah, it's just kind of interesting. Because we talked about it in the past before, when he's just standing there playing one-on-one defense and he's not having to move his feet, he's all right. He's not too bad.
Unless it's against Greg Monroe. Who just spun around him all night. Spin move, what do you do?
How'd you
just
do
let
that?
Him score, I guess.
Speaking of spin moves, how many spin moves did Greek Freak do in one game? How many spin moves does he average in a game?
Yeah, but his spins take up like 40 feet of court.
It's true.
It's giant.
All right, last one in the what category? Steven Adams averages the fourth most post touches per game in the NBA at 6.6. Behind only Drummond, Dwight Howard. And Whiteside, who leads for some reason.
That piece of shit.
Not enough. It's not enough.
You don't think so?
No, I mean, it, it's
good things happen when you throw it in there to him.
Yeah. He's a decent passer out of it, and so
and his hook shot is reliable.
It's money. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Especially if he like a lot of times when he's got a really strong defender on him, he struggles with it because they'll push him off his spot. Yeah, I think I just said
push him off of it.
Yeah, they push him off his spots though. But other than that, if he's got size on the guy,
oh yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he, I don't know the stats, but I'm pretty sure he's top five, if at worst top 10 in field goal percentage this year in the NBA. Okay, next category and the last category, last but not least, the holy bleep, he's good category. I don't like to cuss.
Okay.
Okay.
Very safe here on the
podium. Russell Westbrook leads the NBA in clutch points per game with 6.7. Clutch is last 5 minutes of a game where it's a 5-point game or less.
Is that updated from last night when he...
Okay, that's good.
It is.
Oh, is it really? Oh,
good,
oh.
Good.
Yeah.
I saw somebody, I can't remember the guy's name, but he wrote an article about how good Russ has been in the clutch, and then he posted today. He was like, of course, Russ would crap the bed after this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't remember the guy's
name. And last one, players shoot just 40.3% when Andre Robertson is their primary defender. No surprise there,
right.
But he guards the best player on the other team almost every single night, and so that's an impressive number, 40.3%.
Yeah, he's pretty good at that whole
defense
thing. That
guy's a good defender.
He should probably make a defensive all-NBA team.
What was you guys' favorite stat?
I think there was a lot of them in there.
Was. Yeah, there was. There was. I just want to see how well your memory works.
Not good. I've been drinking.
All day.
All since I got to work today. No, I liked the three-pointers from Russ stats.
Okay.
Just because it proved my point from earlier. And I didn't expect you to do that.
We kept talking about things earlier, and I was like, oh my God, these are in the stat. Worked out perfect.
Right, so that was the stat dungeon.
Yeah, that was. It'll make a return probably, unless we listen back and it was terrible. All right, let's get on to some Twitter questions.
Tweet. That was a little weird one. At Ryan Winkle 7, am I crazy for thinking Abrinas deserves more minutes? Also, am I crazy for wanting an Abrinas jersey? Dude's been balling.
Second one, I say get the jersey for
definitely
sure.
Get that jersey, bro.
He's going to be around, probably. I don't know.
He might be gone tonight.
He's trade bait, probably.
Speaking of Abrinas, though, you think he is trade bait?
Yeah, I mean, the guy's been shooting really. I mean, he didn't play well in there.
Right, but do you think Presti would want to trade him?
He's the only guy we have that can shoot.
If you're talking about Paul Millsap or somebody, like, right. I think there's somebody else that's going to have to be put in there.
They got Kyle Korver. They don't need him.
Yeah. I do wonder if Abrinas'
success.
They're
trying to get Samaj, bro.
If Abrinas' success is making Morrow trade bait a little bit, like a contender might want Morrow, like God forbid Golden State or
Jesus
Cleveland or you know whatever Toronto.
What's his value? It's I mean especially if Abrinas continues playing, but what's his value to the Thunder? You know, in this situation,
none.
Yeah,
none. Yeah. But the first one, more minutes for Abrinas. I mean, what's he averaging over the last four? 18.6 minutes a game. He's getting good minutes. I mean, I don't know if you can expect more minutes.
And also, Ryan, remember that defensive stat he just threw out. That's not good.
I'll tell you what, in the Clippers game, that was a blast watching Abrinas. That little stretch he had. Oh, my God.
Oh, that half court.
I wanted to cry.
Buzzer beater so that he had. The half court buzzer beater. Russ just flung it to him, and he just flipped it up there. It was like,
boom.
So cool.
He's scoring 10.5 points a game over his last four, and that's just in under 19 minutes a game. Shooting 50% from three, and that's on six attempts a game.
That's pretty sweet.
The guy's, Ryan Winkle is right. The guy's balling.
Ryan Winkle, seven.
I think 18.6 seems about right.
What do you think about starting Abrinas and bringing Oladipo off the bench?
No.
No.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
All right. At Dowler.
I'm kidding.
At Dowler Jack. This isn't really a question, I don't think.
I was kidding.
This guy, he's kind of just bringing up a point we went over a little bit. Greg Monroe did things to Cantor that Cantor usually does to other teams.
This one's kind of dirty.
It does sound a little. I was actually thinking that when I read it initially. I was getting a little gross. Can't win when second tier score 15 points. Don't know. Is there a question? I don't know. Yeah.
I guess it was just a thought.
Twitter thoughts by Dowler Jack.
I agree, though. Cantor's got out. That's what we rely on Cantor to do, is outplay those guys.
He's got to do better, and he's not doing better.
It's pretty disappointing, though, whenever you see some, like, Cantor can't stick with Greg Monroe. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, it's...
Was that Cant with a K?
Yeah.
Cant. Cant. Cont.
We...
Nope. No,
move on. At Dylan35_52. Should I buy finals tickets now or should I wait? You should definitely wait.
It depends on what city, you know, San Fran.
Who are you a fan of?
Yeah.
Because if it's not us, then go ahead.
Yeah.
Unless it's the
Hey, we're going to be in the playoffs. We got a chance.
It's always a chance.
Just got to get in.
Just got to
get
there. Always a chance.
What if everybody else breaks their knees? Our old buddy from Hong Kong, Johnny Chair.
I don't think it's not.
It's Chair.
Che.
It's not. Che.
I think that's what we figured out. Yeah, it's Che. Yeah, that's it. At Johnny Che. Che.
Okay.
I'd like to hear some potential trades for the Thunder. Not Rudy Gay stuff, though, guys. Not Rudy Gay.
Not gay stuff.
Maybe Anthony Morrow for Terry Rozier stuff?
No.
No.
Yeah, no. Not into that. I don't really know what Terry Rozier does for us.
Thunder aren't going to need a point guard now that campaigns.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about in a second, but.
And I'm really not that huge of a fan of Terry Rozier.
I don't know. Like, you can't just look at rosters and go, look out for this guy. I mean, everyone does it every.
There's got to be a fit.
Yeah, everyone does it every year, too. They go through rosters and they say, this is a potential target.
Specifically after win or losses.
It's always someone that ends up getting traded that you don't expect. It's always something you're like, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming. Like when Cantor was traded to Oklahoma City, no one would have ever guessed that, you know?
Yeah. We went through like 50 different trade scenarios and it wasn't.
And
that
he
one.
Was so the anti Thunder player when they got Cantor.
But so, sort of a part of this question, what's the percentage that you think now we're almost halfway through the season? I mean, you feel like the Thunder will make a move?
Yeah.
They're definitely, but major move or just a small move?
I still think it's going to be a major move of some sorts. Like, I mean, what would you classify a major move, though? You know, like Rudy Gay is a major move.
Yeah, somebody who's going to come in and be in the starting lineup.
So someone like, so starter.
Yeah.
Even someone like that, if they want to move Oladipo to six man type thing.
Yeah. I would definitely think if they get somebody enough for that, yeah, that's a major move.
Yeah.
Next!
I think they do a small move,
right.
Not major. Small move, not major.
You're right!
At Matt Harrison 51. Why do we always go away from Adams in the second half?
God.
Yes, I meant to scream, he said. Sorry, that was in all caps. I had to yell.
I appreciate you acting it out. Mm-hmm. I really do, and I bet he does too, and I bet most of the other listeners do not.
Angry. I'm sorry, you should have turned your volume down.
I don't know. That's a legitimate question. Rob said earlier, I almost called you Steven, as in Steven Adams, but...
We look the same.
but 2-for-4 in the second half against Milwaukee. I wouldn't mind seeing some more touches. He's shooting free throws. I mean, they're starting to decline a little bit, but he's making them a little bit. I think you got to give him some opportunities. He's capable of passing.
Yeah.
That four-game stretch, he's shooting 62.5% from free throw, which is still up, but it's...
And in the month of December, it's somewhere around 61% over the entire month. So he's regressing back 90. To kind of who he was. I mean, still up from who he was, but...
It's not 90.
It's not what we thought. I kind of was thinking he was going to stick around 75% the whole year. It looked so good, but not the case.
But also, I mean, he was 7-for-7 in that first half.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to...
And like, they weren't dunks.
Why leave that?
They weren't necessarily all dunks. I mean, there were hook shots, like nice little up and unders.
Russ had to get them threes in, though. At Thunder_radar, should Nick Collison be frustrated at all that he doesn't see the floor much?
No.
Nope.
He shouldn't.
He's old, man.
Yeah.
He's pretty old.
I think more so he's just a locker room guy at this point,
he's just
right?
trying to get the young guys.
Come in when it needs to, but
and he's he's almost like a message sender. Like Billy Donovan puts him in when he wants to send him.
He's like, hey guys, you're not playing as well as this 48-year-old guy.
Yeah.
Look how he passes it.
Yeah, do better.
Yeah. I did see he has the highest assist percentage on the team. When he comes in, he's diamond.
Dropping dimes. At Be More Easy. There was underscores in there. I left them out this time.
Oh, my God.
Switching it up on you guys.
No one's going to be able to find them.
Is Abrinas' beard... gonna make him an honorary member of the Stash Bros?
Good question.
He doesn't have a stash, though.
Right? No. Is he capable of growing a stash?
He's like an anti-stash.
Dude, it's amazing that he looks like he's 14, but he has that beard.
Right. He trimmed it up. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, yeah. It was really beefy, and then it thinned out.
Of the three of us, Jason is the one I think that could have that sort of beard.
Definitely not I.
It's more patchy. I look more homeless than he does.
A little Patch Adams.
Yeah.
Oh, Patch Adams. That's nice.
Robin Williams, though.
Yeah. None of us, I don't know if any of us have the ability to grow a thundery facial hair
none of the guys with facial hair, I don't think we can match that.
Yeah. Yep. They got it going. Is that it?
One more. At OK Love Zero, why has the NBA, who should feel guilty for screwing us over, not told officials that every call needs to go our way?
That's true.
Fair.
Yep.
Fair. Yeah, I like that question. So. Yeah.
I think, actually, don't send that to us. Send that to the damn NBA.
Yeah. Isn't there an at NBA refs, like Twitter or something?
Oh, and they are pissed about the L2M report, the last 2-minute report.
They keep just getting upset.
Oh, yeah. Like, they retweet players that complain about the report.
I like it, though. Gives us stuff to talk about.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I do.
I love the last 2-minute report.
Yeah, I love the transparency.
I get both sides. I don't really care.
It
doesn't change anything. That's the thing. I'm like, well, what's the point if it doesn't change anything? But because if you're a Thunder fan and then you go look at the last 2-minute report, like in the Hawks loss, you're like, what? That's terrible. The Thunder should have got 2 calls right there, and it'd be a totally different game.
But
nothing happens. You know,
KD lost a game based on that, and I'm happy about that. That's and he true. Bitched about it, which made me even happier than it.
But it wasn't based on that.
The thing is, in that report, they don't. If I would agree, if all they showed were the bad plays, like here's the 3 they missed. They show the entire last 2 minutes, and they go, you know, correct call, correct non-call, you know, missed, whatever. And so, I mean, they get way more than they miss. Mm-hmm. And so, to me, it's not so much that. But also, you said the Hawks game. You can look at some of the other games where it's like,
the
Thunder benefited from it.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right, let's get to some notes.
Notes! All
notes,
by myself.
No.
Jason's hyped.
Oh my God, sorry.
I was really excited for that, and no one helped me. Fuck you guys.
I pulled up the last 2-minute report from the Bucks game because I hadn't looked at it all day and I was curious.
Anything good?
Jesus.
No.
Oh.
Yeah, no, the only one missed call and it was a Sabonis foul on Antetokounmpo.
Look at that. See how good these refs are?
They're
so good.
I mean, there you go.
Okay, what are the notes? I was wondering why you were yelling in my ear and I was like, oh yeah, that's what we do. I forgot. Okay, according to Bovada, the betting site, Russell Westbrook is the favorite to win the MVP at 1-1 odds, meaning even odds. I wouldn't expect that.
I figured Harden's going to steal it away.
I kind of feel like it's Harden right now, just because of the team's record.
Well, also, he had that 53-17-15 game or some shit.
Yeah.
That's retarded.
Do you guys remember when Harden, Westbrook, and Durant were all on?
Dude.
I was just wondering if you guys
remember. I think about that like once or 10 times a day.
I wasn't watching the Thunder then. Were they in Oklahoma City?
Were they good then?
They were the Hornets then, right? Okay, speaking of Russ, he had the 3rd fastest triple-double ever against the Clippers on New Year's Eve. He almost had it in the first quarter.
Only behind himself and himself?
Yeah,
himself and some dude named Jim Tucker.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I think that's the second time, at least this year, that he's gotten the 3rd fastest triple-double.
Yeah.
He's already beat that record once.
He just keeps beating himself.
Yeah.
It was impressive. That was such a fun game. Fun for us is a blowout because it's like, oh, no stress.
Yeah. Thank God.
No stress. And it's just fun watching these alley-oops. And
well, it was Memphis right before that where we got destroyed, and then the Clippers, like, the very next game where we destroyed the Clippers, so.
Yep. It was a little, we sent the Clippers to a 6-game losing streak, when they were on a 5-game losing streak, I was like, I don't like that number. That scares me because they're due for a win.
Utah just lost. That's good.
What the hell?
Boston beat him.
Okay.
Live potting.
Okay. He gets distracted.
Cameron Payne is to play. He got assigned to the OKC Blue, meaning he's ready to play, unofficially targeting a January 7th return with the Thunder. Good news.
That is good news.
What do you expect, Rob?
I don't know. Rust, I guess. I think even though he's playing with the Blue in some tune-up games, I think he'll still be
What's his role in game number one? Like, when he's active for the Thunder in game one, what do you think? You think his rotation is like how many minutes?
I feel like it's going to still be mixed with Kristen a little bit.
You think? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think he takes over exactly what Kristen is doing right now. Nice. He plays better.
I think maybe a little less. I think maybe at that point, Donovan might stagger Oladipo a little bit and try to ease Chris or Payne in, and maybe play him 12 to 15 minutes.
That would be better than.
It kind of depends on what Kristen does. Going, I mean,
if he keeps balling out like he did last night,
yeah. He's playing all right. You know, I mean, like I called him an NBA player many of times, and I'm still not sure that he is. But
last night,
he's trying to prove me wrong.
Did the Thunder hang on to him even with Payne coming back? They love to have 3-point guards. So
yeah, why not? I mean, why not? What's the point in getting rid of him if you're not doing anything?
Hashtag why not?
Yeah, hashtag why not? Why not? Okay, up next. That was all for the notes. Up next, Thunder have. At Charlotte, then they're going to Houston on a second night of a back-to-back, which is just unfair.
Yep, again.
And then Saturday.
Thanks, NBA.
Saturday, hosting the Nuggets, who are 14-20 on the year. So, in our new game, Hero or Zero, standings, current standings, I'm 8. Rob is 10, has yet to miss a game. And Jason is 8. So, it's if you get to 0, that's a bad thing. So what do you got these next three games? Charlotte, at Houston, hosting the Nuggets.
I'm going 2-1.
2-1.
Losing to Houston.
1-2.
Ooh.
Oh.
Pessimistic Pauly.
Wow. I mean, is that... Just kidding. So who's your loss? Both of you Houston?
Houston, yeah, for sure.
I'm going to go Charlotte.
You think Lambeau's about to drop 29 on us?
They're going to beat Houston.
Yeah, they're going to beat Houston.
Wait, they're going to?
Yeah.
Love it.
Whew. They were going to be Houston.
See, this is my opportunity to gain some points on you, Rob. Right
yeah,
here.
But Rob's the prophet, bro. This is also your opportunity.
Why not take a chance to go 3-0?
Not about that life, bro.
Close your eyes. Right. Make the shot.
All right. Follow us on Twitter at OKC Thunderhead. Subscribe on iTunes. Leave a review if you'd
be
so
kind.
You can find us on SoundCloud, Facebook, all those things. We really appreciate you listening. Thanks so much. And as always, Thunder up. Got to pee.
You got rid of those quick.
Dude, fuck these headphones.
Yo, everybody get up. Everybody get up. Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like Geico is more than just a company that can save you money. Geico also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Yo!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.